Welcome to I'm So Obsessed, where we get the inside take from actors, artists, and creators on their work, career, and the things they obsess about. I'm your host, Connie Guillermo. Sean Tube has had an impressive acting career, appearing in notable films and TV shows, including The Kite Runner, Homeland, Grimm, and Iron Man. This month, he resumes his role in the spy thriller Tehran as Faraz Kamali, an Iranian Revolutionary Guard officer intent on catching an Israeli computer hacker and Mossad agent named Tamar. Season 2 of Tehran is now streaming on Apple TV+.
The Mossad sent me to Tehran on a mission, but then everything went wrong.
If you pull this off, we'll help you escape. Can you handle it?
I'll see it through.
Be careful.
Faraz knows Tamar better than anyone in Iran. I trust you to take care of him.
Tamar?
We're going into the belly of the beast.
This operation is not to be compromised.
You might not get out of there alive.
Tehran doesn't really make either country the good or the bad guy, which explains its appeal in both Israel and Tube's home country of Iran, he tells me. We talked about his complicated character, about his role as the man who inspires Tony Stark in the original Iron Man, and about how he ad-libbed his scene as a store clerk in Bad Boys with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. His twist on a profanity turned him into a meme before we even knew what memes were. Thank you, Sean Tube, for taking some time to talk to us. I'm really excited to talk to you because I'm a longtime watcher of your work. I was looking back over your credits, and it's incredible the amount of work you've done in both television and movies. And so thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So I'm going to start with a project that you're working on right now for Apple TV Plus, which is Tehran, which is a, I think these are your words, fast-paced espionage thriller about a Mossad agent from Israel who infiltrates Tehran, where you are an Iranian Revolutionary Guard officer intent on capturing her. That's a very superficial description of what the show is. So I'd like to start by asking you, what is Tehran about? How do you describe the show?
Well, you know, Tehran is incredible. I think it's incredible. Fantastic series now, and it's you know, it's espionage. It's it has, as far as I see it, you know, Faraz is an intelligence officer, and he has had issues, as you saw the first season, and he got shot, so he's not in his best. You know, he's physically is not the best, and also. Mentally is not the best as well. And there are so many facets about Tehran. And as you know, there's a Mossad agent that came to Tehran. And I am the one who looking for her because I wanted to make sure that nothing goes wrong.
You play a very complicated and complex character. And I will say I've seen season one and I was fortunate to see the first two episodes of season two. And the first question I want to ask you about your character, Faraz, is he a good guy or a bad guy?
I always want to see Faraz in a different light because as an actor, you know, I don't want Faraz to be a run-of-the-mill, you know, character. And that's why I wanted Faraz to be more than that. So yeah, Faraz is complicated. He's very complicated, and he loves his wife for sure. But also he loves the country, and he loves his work. And therefore, as you saw the first and second episodes, you saw him in a very bad shape, and now Mohammadi has asked for him to come back, because he's a intelligent, he's an intelligent officer, but he's very smart.
We're not going to give too many spoilers away here because the show is evolving. And I honestly have to say, it's one of these shows that I watch and I get really nervous because it puts you on the edge of your seat. Things go left, right, sideways, upside down, even within 5 minutes of watching the show. So you can never, you're never sitting there just complacently chewing popcorn and watching it. You can't do it. There's a lot of tension exactly. behind what's happening, which is why I wanted to ask you if you thought he was a good guy or a bad guy, because I think, you know, the show has the title Tehran. Here in America, we have a certain view of the country, the regime, the government there. And so the default expectation was that, okay, well, he's obviously the bad guy and the Mossad agent is the good guy. But then when you watch it, and again, I don't think I'm giving away a spoiler here, it's not that clear cut. I think the lines between good and bad, who's good, who's bad, who's right, who's wrong, is extremely messy.
That's exactly what it is, because I think that's why people are watching the series, and that's why they are intrigued by it, because the Tehran is a very complicated characters. You know, all the characters are not good and are not bad. You know, and I think as humans, you know, we hope to be good, but sometimes we are not so good. So that's why I think that the Tehran people are really intrigued by it, and they want to see what happens with the characters. And at the end of the day, you see that people are just people.
I think it's also interesting that the Mossad agent that you are intent on capturing, her family has connections to Tehran, and something tragically happens with her aunt and uncle. And I don't know if people understand that that there are actually ties that bring those countries together. I think there's a focus on what, you know, what brings them apart, but that adds another layer of complexity to the situation.
You know, it's amazing that I've had so many messages from Iran, and these are not the people that I know. And at the, you know, in the beginning, I thought, oh my God, you know, I'm Iranian at the same, you know, I'm sure I'm an American, you know, Iranian, but at the end of the day, you know, I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen with the people and what they're going to say about me? And then when I start reading the scripts, I realized that there is more to it than that. And that's why now people in Iran, they are loving the series and they are so into it now, and which is incredible. And also, the Israelis are loving the series. So and when you see that the people, then you realize that just people are just people, you know, and we make so much of it, and it's unfortunate, really, and maybe Tehran does something for the two countries to be able to to see us in a different way.
Name of this podcast is I'm So Obsessed. So Sean Tube, what are you obsessed with?
Right now, I'm obsessed with Tehran, because I want to see what the audience they enjoyed, and we'll see what happens with Tehran. I can't tell you anything about what's happened with my character, because in this industry, you never know. You don't know if you're gonna lie, you know, you're gonna be dead, or you're gonna survive. So we'll see. So we'll see what happens with Faraz.
You were born in Tehran, and if the internet is to be believed, you lived there while you were a young boy, I think. I know that you've lived all over the world and studied all over the world. The show is obviously not filmed there, but I'm curious. I don't know the last time you were there. I know the show has very high production values, and I've seen you and your co-stars quoted as saying that the set has done a good job of turning Athens, where some of the scenes are filmed, into Tehran and making it feel like Tehran. What does that mean? What does it feel? What does it mean to be Tehran? How do you describe that as a place?
I haven't been there for about, you know, maybe about 25 years, I think. You know, when I was a child, you know, Iran was different. And I really missed that. And unfortunately, the government has not done the job. And it's really unfortunate. Because I see a lot of messages from Iran, and everybody's unhappy. And we used to be a very Iran used to be a very happy country, and it's really unfortunate. But I gotta tell you, these people, you know, they have done an incredible job with making Athens like Iran. And that's why I get a lot of messages from Iran that how did you guys do this? That it looks like Iran. It looks like Tehran.
Well, I was going to say, I've been to Athens, but I've never been to Tehran.
Yeah.
And it's a very urban place that, from what I see of how you're presenting Tehran. People drive fancy cars, there's outdoor markets, there are gyms, and you're shooting it in another city, but you've made it feel like Tehran. So what is it that makes it like New York to me is people 24/7.
Yes.
Right? Los Angeles is people, beautiful people in shorts roller skating down the beach, right? So what is Tehran to you?
You know, Tehran is a big city, incredible buildings and architecture. And does it look like Athens? Not at all. Because Tehran doesn't look like Athens at all. But that's why they are so good at it. And they're so amazing that they are able to, sure, there's some CGI and everything, but we have been able to find locations. And, you know, we are not in a studio in Athens. It's all location. So amazing that they have been able to have at least have the feel of Tehran.
I've heard you say that you've wanted to be an actor since you were five. And I'm curious, what did you watch or what was the experiences that you grew up seeing that convinced you that this was something that you wanted to do?
You know, I was, funny enough, this is interesting that all my friends, you know, from childhood, they always thought that I'm going to do something, you know, in comedy. And I was always the one who was cracking jokes, and it's amazing that I'm now a very bona fide, you know, serious actor. But I have done, I started my career with comedy. I did so many the different sitcoms, you know, like Seinfeld, Just Shoot Me, this, that, I did, you know, and they always knew me as a comedic actor, you know, and what happened all of a sudden, I think Crash just changed everything, because all of a sudden they look at me as a serious actor.
Crash, The Kite Runner, Grimm, Homeland. Not comedian, you play a lot of villains in those roles. So that's surprising to me.
But you know that I used to do have a lot of comedy. For example, you know, Bad Boys, you know, there's a Bad Boys on scene that everybody still talk about it, because they always ask me about Bad Boys, because that scene actually, I actually wrote that scene.
Wait, now you have to tell us, what is the scene so that people listening can go and find him.
It's the first Bad Boys, and it's people know me as Mother because I so there was a scene and I was, you know, I came on the set it was LA actually, and make a long story short, the producer came to my trailer and he said, you know, Sean, we needed this this and it, something comedy, so are you okay with that? I said, well, that, you know, it's not that funny. So, and he goes, what do you mean? I go, well, I think I can do better than that. So he goes, if you're gonna rewrite this, you better be funny. So we went on the set, and then it was Martin Lawrence and Will Smith was there, and I looked very serious. There was something that I said in the beginning. I said, you know,
hey, how much is that?
$14.25.
Damn, you know what? I must have left my wallet somewhere.
Freeze, mother bitch!
Don't you move.
I'm not understanding. I really don't.
Shut up!
I mean, do you just attract violent people?
Fuck.
Take it easy, hey. All right? We are police officers.
We're not police officers. I'm not stupid. I know.
What are you?
I've seen police.
I'm gonna reach for my badge, okay?
Badges? Do you want badges, mother bitch? I give you badges. Here, 99 cents each. Uh-huh. I sell you some.
So all of a sudden, this thing became a huge thing. So they loved it.
I will make sure for our readers to go and find that scene and include it in a link to the story when we post this interview.
You will enjoy it. You will enjoy it. Yeah, I changed it completely. So, but people loved it.
You also had a role in Iron Man at the very beginning of the first one. And it's actually in a very important role because it's, I think, the scene that sets up Tony Stark from becoming basically an arms dealer to becoming a Marvel superhero. So what was it like for you working on a Marvel superhero big action movie? What was that like?
It was incredible, you know, because this was the first Marvel movie. I mean, if didn't work, none of this, of the 22 different films would have happened, I think. But Jensen was an incredible character. And you know, Jon Favreau always says that. He goes, you know, we made a big mistake of killing Jensen. And everybody says that still, you know, that this character should have lived for a long time. But it was an incredible journey, and it was amazing to work with Robert. When we got into the set, we would improvise at times. You know, we were improvise with Robert sometimes. Yes, there was a script and everything, but we always change it up. And so now Jensen is a huge character. So and I miss it. I wish you'd have stayed there.
I have to say, I wish you had also survived, because you're talking about your acting with Robert Downey Jr. Again, this is at the beginning of Iron Man, and it sets the tone for his transformation from a very self-centered, which, I mean, he's still self-centered, but self-centered, self-absorbed, but an arms dealer, to someone who understands that there is right and there is wrong. And you put him on that path. When you were filming it, out of curiosity, did you think it was going to be a hit?
You know, you always hope for it. We never did we think that it's going to be such a huge, huge, huge hit. I mean, you always hope for it, but it was, I remember when I went to the premiere, and then when we saw it, we were enamored. We were like, oh my God, this is so good. This is actually amazing.
Okay, so CNET is a tech site, so I have to ask you just a few quick questions. What is your favorite piece of technology?
My God, technology is killing me. Technology is right there, my phone. That's my technology. It's amazing what has happened. But social media. What can I say?
Wait, what can you say? Fan or not fan?
Sometimes I hate it. Sometimes I need it. Sometimes I love it.
Well, I have to say, I saw you in a little clip watching yourself on a billboard in Times Square.
Yes, I mean, thank God for that. You know, the billboard was amazing. You know, you are in Times Square on a huge billboard, and it was fantastic.
And I will just tell listeners, you were like every person who is, you're standing on the street and you go, hey, that's me on the billboard. Isn't that cool? So it was a joyful moment. So I just thought I would tell you that.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I don't take it so seriously. So, but it's a pleasure, and I'm blessed that I've had, you know, 35 years of amazing moments.
If you could have any piece of technology invented for you, what would you like to have?
I'm hoping by the before I die, I have one of those packs, you know, that
a jetpack.
Yeah, and I know it's out there, but I since I was a child, I always dream. I still dream about flying. For some reason, I feel like I always want to fly. And
well, that's interesting, because isn't that what you helped Tony Stark do? Create a flying suit?
Isn't that funny that actually happened? And I've had this dream since I was, five. And I always didn't think about it. And then when I got Iron Man, I was like, oh my God. I need to do that.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll put out the call to Silicon Valley that you want a jetpack. They exist, but I don't think that they're for everyday use quite yet.
I would love to at least experience it. I would love that.
I hope that you do get a chance to try a flying jetpack. There's a guy in LA who keeps interfering with air traffic there because he's built his own and goes up 30 or 20,000 feet and, you know, messes around in airspace, but
that's amazing, though. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little scary.
I don't know if I want the jetpack. I think I want the personal helicopter. You know, the one that you're just sitting in by yourself.
Yeah. And... yeah. But actually, I'm a friend of mine, Bob Yori. You know, we on Thursdays he has a helicopter, so we go to Catalina and stuff like that all the time. But I want my own.
do you fly a helicopter too, or are you just a passenger?
No, I'm a passenger. Yeah, he's the captain. I sometimes, you know, fiddle around, you know, I try to see what I can do, but no. It's really scary. I mean, it's not scary. It doesn't scare. No, thank God nothing really scares me. But it's really fun to be the driver.
So. Well, you have to have the confidence to want to do it. But
yeah.
All right. Well, I will remind everyone that Tehran is now streaming season 2 on Apple TV Plus. Shantoub, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you to Shantoub for talking to me, and thank you for listening. I'm So Obsessed was created by our executive producer, Danielle Ramirez. Our editor and lead producer is Sophia Fox Sowell, and this episode was produced by Rebecca Fleener. Please take a moment and subscribe to I'm So Obsessed on your favorite podcast app, and follow the show on Twitter @I'm So Obsessed Pod. Until next time, take care.